today on A Word to Live By.
If you're in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a heartache, a middle of a loss, a middle of something, and you are stressed and you've got anxiety, I just want to say Yahweh Shalom is available for you in the midst of any storm, in the midst of any decision that you have to make. There's Shalom that's available for you today.
There are many names for God in the Bible, and each name communicates His very character and the nature of His work. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses Jehovah Shalom and the peace He comes to bring in part two of God's Great Name.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for A Word to Live By.
A couple of weeks ago, we spoke of the great name of our God, Yahweh God. And so I want to continue that today on how the name of our God is such a great name. And I want us to see again where we saw a couple of weeks ago where this name comes from. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, God is appearing to Moses, and God is saying in verse 7, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I'm aware of their sufferings. So I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" I am, the great I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh, however you want to pronounce it, because we really don't know how it's pronounced in English from the Hebrew, but any way that you want, this great I am. Now, I want you to see something, as we've been seeing over the past couple of weeks. God's name reflects his character, okay? It communicates who he is. God's name in Scripture communicates to you and me. It identifies who God is, and it identifies what God does. Okay, we'll see that in just a second. Now, you know, there's a great passage of Scripture. We looked the last time at Psalm 103, but this time I want you to go a few pages to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. A very familiar passage to some of us. One of my favorites in all of Old Testament. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Now, this is Moses has delivered the people from Israel. They have gone to the mountain the first time. There's been great sin, and so he's gone back up the second time. He's interceding for them, and he's asking God, "God, I just want you to show me you. I want you to show me all of you. I want you to show me your glory. I want you to show me who you are." And God said, "Okay, I will. I'll show you who I am. I will show you Yahweh." And so I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to use the Hebrew names for God. Verse 4, so he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand, and Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of Yahweh. And Yahweh passed by in front of him, and this is what Yahweh said, Yahweh, Yahweh God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, abounding in truth, the God who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He visits the iniquity of the fathers of the children on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And he said, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, O Yahweh, I pray, let Yahweh go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your possession. And I love what God does. I love how God responds to Moses every time. God, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I'll show you my glory. God, do this for me. And he says, okay, I'll do this for you. I'll go with you. You know, that's why we believe that prayer really does work. Because we go to our great God and we go to him with our requests, and we know that he hears us, and we know that he's our Father. We know that we're his children, and that's why we pray, and that's why we request. And I love that about what God does when Moses says, hey, God, I need this. And God says, okay, I'll give you this. And so when I think about Moses' call and God communicating his great name and then saying, listen, this is who Yahweh is. Yahweh is compassionate, slow to anger. He's filled with loving kindness and truth. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sins. He keeps his promises. This is who this great God is. And when you see the word Yahweh and then the compound names of Yahweh, you understand that God is not only communicating his name to you, he's actively working that character out in our lives. What he's doing. And so when we go to the New Testament, Old Testament, there's these compound names. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Yahweh Jireh. This week, we're going to look at Yahweh Shalom. I am your peace. And this word, Yahweh Shalom, if you go to Judges chapter 6, is found in the life of Gideon. Now, isn't it interesting that when God brought the folks out of Egypt, that they were always needing deliverance? They were always needing a word. They were always needing God to come because they were just, like Moses said, so obstinate. And that's human nature in the fallen nature. We are an obstinate people without Christ. And sometimes we just don't get it. And from his character comes his work. And what he's saying to Moses is, listen, I want you to go and I want you to tell Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Deliver them. I am sending you as my ambassador. I am sending you as my minister. I'm sending you as my priest. I'm sending you to go to Pharaoh and say, let them go. Let them go. And when you come to Judges, you have this guy named Gideon, where there's this pattern taking place in the times of the judges. And so as you turn there, you'll notice if you've ever read the book of Judges, you know that there's the same pattern that keeps taking place generation after generation. This is what happens. People of God are doing great. And then all of a sudden they start following after the other gods. And the Bible says then God sends them, the nations, to judge them and to enslave them. Really. And so they're enslaved or they're under their rule for years. And then all of a sudden the people of God cry out, God, come save us. And then he raises up a deliverer. He raises up a judge. And that judge and that deliverer will call the people of God together and make war against that people. And God's favor is upon that judge. And that judge leads them to victory. And then he rules in the sense of that he judges them as long as he's alive. Or she's alive, because Deborah is a judge. I believe the second judge. And so what happens is there's peace again. There's joy again. There's life again. The judge dies and then they forget. And they start chasing after the gods again. And then God judges them. God comes and disciplines them. And so another nation comes along and puts them into servitude. And sometimes it may be 8 years, sometimes it's 18, sometimes it's 20 years. And then all of a sudden they begin to cry out to God. And then God raises up another judge and another deliverer that comes and rallies the people of God that says, you're going to let my people go. Listen, this is the pattern. It's the pattern of human nature, but it's also the pattern of our great God. Because how many times have we walked away in some way and we've had this junk come on us, the rule and reign over us, and then we cry out to God and God comes and he delivers us from that. Takes that stuff away from us, gets us out of the pit, gets us out of from under whatever we're under. This is how great God is. No matter how many times you've moved the other way, no matter how many times you've done things that you know you shouldn't have done, no matter how many times that you've responded in the way that is ungodly instead of godly, you cry out to God, and what does God do? He comes to you. Why? Because you're his people. And he's made covenant with you by the blood of Jesus. And God keeps his promises. We cry out. And what's great about this passage of scripture is we get this name of God, Yahweh Shalom, that comes from Gideon when God comes along to call him to go literally say to the Midianites, we're coming after you because you're going to let God's people go. Now, we don't have all the time to talk about this, but I want you to look at Judges chapter 6, verse 11, okay? Now, the Bible says that Midian has come against Israel. And so God is hearing the cry. They cry out, and he's hearing the cry. And verse 7 says, it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am Yahweh your God. You shall not fear or worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. Verse 11, and then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, and that's Adonai, and that's not the same one of Yahweh. Oh, my Adonai, if Yahweh is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into his hand, the hand of Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in your strength, now watch this, and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, O Lord, how shall I do that? How shall I do this assignment? My family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. You shall, listen to me, you shall fulfill this assignment that I'm giving you. Now, I want you to see this. God comes along for every one of us, and he gives us assignments through our lives. And they're great assignments. And he comes along, and he says, listen, I want you to, and he tells you what he wants you to do. And then somehow we get our eyes off of who God, the God who's speaking to us, and we focus it on the temporal, and we focus it on ourselves. And that's what he's doing here. He's focusing on his bio, his biography. My biography is this. I'm from Manasseh. We're not much of a great people amongst the tribes. And then my people, my family, they're the least, and I'm the youngest. I can't do that, just like Moses said. I can't do that. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I can't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God's calling you to it, he's already equipped and equipping you for it. And yes, you can. I don't care what your bio is. what your biology is, what that life is, because there's a new life that God gives you. In the Greek, it's called zeo, and it's spiritual life, and it's great life, and it's abundant life, and it's power, and it's an anointing from God that says, listen, if I call you to it, I'm going to equip you for it. And so there's no really excuse for you and I, Spirit life, depending on God, depending on who he is, and he's missing that. You know, I really believe when you focus on the temporal, peace is elusive. But when it's focused on the eternal, peace is abundant. Every time. If I look on my own life, I look at the things in my bio, I can say, oh, God. But when I look at the spiritual biography of my life, when I see the spiritual implications of who God is and what he has called me to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And therefore, there's no assignment that God gives that you cannot not do. You must do it. It's who God is. So, but what happens is we focus on the temporal and peace is elusive. But when focus on the eternal, peace is abundant. Now, so what happens next? He says, I'm the least. I can't do this. And he says, the Lord says to him, surely I'll be with you. You shall defeat Midian as one man. So Gideon said to him in verse 17, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it's you who speak with me. And please do not depart from me here until I come back to you and bring out my offerings and lay it before you. And he said, I'll remain until you return. And Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in the basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord, watch this. He puts out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. And when Gideon saw that, it was the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh. He said, alas, Yahweh, God, now I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And Yahweh says to him, peace to you. Do not fear. Shalom to you. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he named it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. That's who he is. That's his character. I love this thought because it's like, I mean, he says, I've seen his face. I've seen the angel of the Lord. I'm about to die. And Yahweh God says, peace to you, don't fear, you're not going to die. It's kind of like this. I see just kind of maybe a chuckle that says, relax, quit fretting. It's not as bad as you think. Relax. Relax. Take this shalom. Receive what I have. You're not going to die. And I tell you what, I've had more people think when God gives them assignment, they would rather die than go do that assignment. If I have to speak in front of that crowd, I will die. Hey, relax. Quit fretting. It's not as bad as you think. If God calls you to the assignment, if he calls you to whatever that is, to lead a class, to lead a people, to witness and share faith with somebody, to go on that mission trip, to move into some leadership positions, to go to your work and be a better witness, if that's the assignment that God's given to you, if he's given it to you to reflect him, he's going to empower you and he's going to equip you to do that. And what you and I need more than anything in those times is this shalom that God asks. Now, so let me tell you a little bit about shalom. Shalom is one of the greatest words of the Old Testament. It's not just a greeting. And all over the world, you know, you have that type of greeting, peace be unto you, which is a great greeting, it's a great blessing. But let me tell you what shalom is. Shalom is complete. It's sound. It means safe, healthy, prosperous, quiet, tranquil of heart. It means to be at peace, content, and satisfied. It means to be at rest. It means to have friendship with God and with others. It's the absence of agitation and discord. And one Hebrew rabbi years ago said, shalom is the way things ought to be. Isn't that great? Shalom is the way things ought to be. Gideon had this task to deliver these people out of bondage from Midian. Gideon needed it then. Gideon would need it the next few months as he gathered folks together and did war God's way. He would need shalom. Let me just say, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstance that needs to come to completion in your life, there's shalom that's available for you today. And I want to just take the next few minutes to close out this message just to give you some things that I think is really important. Because when I'm focused on the temporal, peace is elusive. If you're in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a heartache, a middle of a loss, a middle of something, or you're not even in the middle of it, you just think it's coming. And you are stressed, and you've got anxiety, and you've got things going on, and you're clenching your fists, and you're wringing your hands. I just want to say, Yahweh Shalom is available for you in the midst of any storm, in the midst of any decision that you have to make. And you know, when I think about focusing on the eternal of who God is, that this shalom is abundant. And so I want to give you a couple of things before we close this morning about this shalom. And the first thing is I want to say is peace instead of worry, fear, and anxiety. Is that a good deal? That's a good deal. You know, we talk about trading our sorrows. Hey, trade your worry, your fear, and your anxiety for shalom. For the completeness of God. For that at rest in your heart. To know that He is Lord and that He is God and that He is in control. So peace instead of fear, worry, and anxiety. Because fear, worry, and anxiety is the absence of peace. And you know, there's something about fear and worry that I've come to know about. That when you look at fear and you look at worry, really all that is a presumption and a threat of loss. Isn't that right? I mean, most of the things that we fear and the things that we worry about have not really happened. Now, we may be in the midst of a long-haul trial, okay? But when I walk in fear, worry, and anxiety, and it's the absence of peace, what I look at is, man, I feel this threat of loss. I'm about to lose something. And it's really, really important to understand that, just like we talked about last week, when you put on the loins of truth, is that the truth? Are we going to lose it all? Is this going to be like this the rest of my life? And I think that what's so important to understand is that fear presumes loss. Do you remember Job when he lost everything? Well, the Bible says in Job 3:25, what I fear has come upon me. Or really, more literally, for what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I mean, eventually these things just kind of seem to work together. Disciples. You remember the disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 38? I mean, they're in the boat, and Jesus is sleeping in the stern, and the waves come, and I mean, this is a storm and a half. And he's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Because he's Yahweh Shalom. He's the God that can speak to weather, and weather will obey his voice. And they have the mouthpiece. And they have the power of God to stop any storm in a moment when He decides. And they're worried and they're fearful and they shake Him up, wake Him up and say, don't you know, don't you even care that we're dying here? We're about to drown and die. And He gets up and He says, oh, you timid ones, why are you so afraid? You men of unbelief. And then He speaks to the storm and He says, hush, be still. And they're in awe of this man that commands the storm. I want to tell you, they're thinking they're going to die. Well, we're all going to die. But they thought they were going to die in that lake. Did they die? They didn't die. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've worried about stuff and worried about things that didn't happen. You know, I think about fear and anxiety. I think about the unfaithful steward in Matthew 25:24. He gives a guy 10 talents and one 5 and one 1. And the guy goes and takes the 10 and he multiplies it, and then he takes the one with the 2, I think it's 2, and then he multiplies it to the one that's afraid, and he says, goes, hides his talent. And you know what he says to the guy when he comes back? His master says, you know, I knew that you were a hard man, and you reap where you don't sow, and I was afraid, so I hid the talent. And do you know what God said to him? You wicked, lazy slave. You hid your talent. You hid what God gave to you. You put your light under a bushel. You blew it out. What were you thinking? Because if I give you an assignment, I'm going to give you the power to fulfill that assignment. I'm going to equip you. Shalom. It's the way things ought to be. Peace. It's what should be in your life, in my life. I've seen fear do things to people. I've seen fear and worry do to me. Listen, it's caused me to miss out on God's victory. It's caused me sometimes to forget God. I mean, you look at Peter and all his fear. It caused him to deny Christ. It causes the Israelites in Deuteronomy 1 to walk in rebellion. It will cause you not to praise God, to give praise to something else because you're not supposed to praise God in public. It'll cause you to walk in unbelief. And you know what else fear does? It spreads. Fear and worry spreads. Panic spreads. And there's nothing we want in fear and worry. And it's everything we want in shalom. Peace instead of worry, fear, and anxiety. Here's another thought. Peace instead of conflict, separation, and struggle. Gideon is going to be called to bring peace to Israel, to deliver them from conflict, from separation, from the struggle that the land might be free from loss and chaos and war. And I'm going to just tell you this, it's what you and I are called to. And this peace in our day is found in Jesus Christ. I want you to see a couple of passages of scripture before we close, and we'll close with this. Isaiah 9:6, a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, watch, Prince of Peace. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And then Ephesians 2:14 says, he is our peace. His work of peace ultimately defines you. It's who we are. We have the Prince of Peace living in us. He is Yahweh Shalom. For whatever you're going through, he's Shalom for you. And as Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. Not as God, men, or women, but as God's men and women. We're not self-existing. We're not the creator. We are creation that points and gives witness to Yahweh Shalom. And I'll say this about Shalom as I did about Jireh. Would you please be more passionate about being a vessel of Yahweh Shalom than a recipient of Yahweh Shalom? Listen to that. Be more passionate about being a vessel of Yahweh Shalom than a recipient of Yahweh Shalom. I mean, we're all crying out for peace. But why don't we cry out to be who we really are? And that's the peacemakers of God. We broker peace. And so in such a way, when that's happening in my life, and I'm a recipient, but I'm also the vessel, and that's more important that I be a vessel of it, then I'm going to tell you what happens. Fear, worry, and anxiety, they get kicked out of your life. And all of a sudden, you're anxious for nothing. And you've got peace in your heart and life and mind. Why? Because you're conscious of the fact that you have the Prince of Peace living in you. And I think what I would say to you, finally, is go be who you are. Peacemakers of God. By proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to do. To announce good news of peace.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.